Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. Winter is one of the very best times for stargazing. The sky is filled with some of the most recognizable constellations, and there are some really beautiful star stories to accompany many of them. And on top of that, there's some great objects to look at. Jupiter and Saturn are still visible right now, and there's a nebula that's visible to the naked eye in the Orion constellation, and the brightest star in the entire night sky is finally visible. Unfortunately, it's really easy to skip winter stargazing because it's too cold, and nobody likes to be cold, especially at night when it's dark. A few years ago, I read a book called There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather by Linda McGurk. Linda shares about the Scandinavian mindset around spending time outdoors in the winter. And the Scandinavians are so far north that they spend most of their winter with long, dark days and super cold weather. And they don't huddle up inside during these months either. They often still ride their bikes to work each day, and they go on adventures in the forest, and they even park their babies in the stroller to nap outside the cafe while the parents go inside to get coffee and meet with a friend. They view the cold weather as an immune system booster for the babies, and the babies just don't seem to mind. Spending time in the cold weather also builds resilience in people of all ages. How are they able to endure these winter activities? It's all about dressing for the weather. In fact, there's an attitude in the Scandinavian culture that there's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes for the weather. Now let's jump over to another book that I recently read by the same author about another Scandinavian concept, and it's called Friluftsliv. It's a Nordic word that means the open air life. It's a lifestyle that's common throughout the Scandinavian countries, and it's all about slowing down and spending more time in nature. And some of their practices include things like foraging for wild berries, bird watching, hiking, cross-country skiing into the forest, anything that gets you outside into the open air. And again, this open air lifestyle is not dependent upon the weather. It's practiced year round. So bringing this all back around to what I was saying about winter stargazing, I have wanted to do an episode about stargazing no matter the weather ever since this podcast launched. And I'm really excited because I finally have the opportunity to do just that. I started following an Instagram account over a year ago called Friluftsliv Family. Tacy Quinn shared great ideas to help busy families make more time to go outside and have simple adventures, even if they didn't leave their own backyards. And then in November this year, Tacy and her friend Lauren Tice announced a new Instagram account called No Matter the Weather. And just in case it's difficult for you to hear what I said in this audio format, let me clarify that first word. It's gnome, as in the little woodland dwarves or fairies. No, not really a fairy, but you know, a gnome, G-N-O-M-E. Some people like to put little statues of gnomes in their gardens, that kind of gnome. They're especially popular in the Scandinavian countries, so I love the play on words, and I think it's super clever. Tacy and Lauren launched No Matter the Weather last month, and I wasted no time in reaching out to them to be guests on this podcast. There are some guests on the Night Sky Tourist who I feel this instant connection with within minutes of our interview starting, and this is exactly what happened in this interview. So I'm super excited to share our conversation with you. And I hope that it inspires you to make the effort to dress well and get outside this winter for some extraordinary stargazing experiences. Before we jump in, let me tell you a little bit about these two very charismatic ladies. As mentioned already, Tacy Quinn and her family created the Instagram account Free Loofsleeve Family and immediately built a community for sharing ideas about outdoor adventures inspired by Tacy's Norwegian roots and her love for nature. It started in the fall of 2020 as a way to bring some light to the darker days of the pandemic. And her family's journey has been featured on NPR's All Things Considered in December 2020, as well as in the book I already mentioned, The Open Air Life. Tacy and her family then created a 15 weeks of free loofsleeve challenge to inspire friends and family to get outside at least once a week through the toughest season, winter. Lauren Tice is the director of education at Raritan Headwaters in New Jersey, and she leads outdoor experiential programs for kids and adults, connecting them to their local ecosystem and inspiring protection of natural resources. She has a science background, but her goal is to help others find their connection to nature in their own way, whether it be through science, the arts, recreation, literature, nature observation, meditation, or some other fun and creative way. She views this connection as vital to creating a happier, healthier human species and promoting preservation. Lauren's also an illustrator, which is beautifully demonstrated in the newsletter and the Instagram posts from No Matter the Weather. You'll learn more about how Tacy and Lauren partnered for this new project in the interview. So please welcome to the podcast, Tacy Quinn and Lauren Tice. Lauren and Tacy, so thank you so much for joining me on the Night Sky Tours podcast to talk about something that's going to be really, really, really fun. Welcome.
Thank you for having us, Vicki.
This is the first time I've actually done an episode with two guests who were on separate Zooms. I've had two guests before, but they were sitting and sharing the screen together. So this is fun. We might talk over each other a little bit. That's totally fine. There's a lot of fun stuff to say. So looking forward to chatting with you guys. But I want to start out with you guys defining a term for us, because I know it's going to be said a lot in this conversation. So I'll let one of you take a stab at it. It's the Nordic term, free loofsleeve.
You got it. Lauren, can I give a go at the definition? And then
Please go for it, Tacy.
So free loofsleeve, it's a Norwegian term, and it translates literally as free air life. And it's a very common term in Scandinavia, and it is about this ethos of embracing nature, being one with nature, living an open air life. So that's the basic definition of what it is. And then there are so many other aspects of it that we have really come to embrace, which we can talk more about, but that is the most basic definition is embracing nature, being one with it, and enjoying the outdoors. The other aspect of it that people may have heard about, even though it's hard to pronounce, it relates somewhat to that idea of going outside no matter the weather. So this sense of embracing the open air life, free loofsleeve in all seasons. And that is what particularly I think resonates with the Scandinavian culture, where they have some pretty impressive winters that last a long time.
I think it's going to be an interesting conversation because I know that nobody can see us right now. They're only listening, but I want to describe something that we talked about as soon as we all ended up on this Zoom call together. And that's that Lauren is wearing a sweater and Tacy's wearing a sweater with a great big turtleneck. And I'm wearing a V-neck sleeveless shirt. And I just think it's so appropriate for what we're talking about because you guys are out in New Jersey, right? Yeah. And I'm in Arizona. And so there's something important to be said about that time outdoors that you learn to appreciate it in all weather. I'm going to admit, appreciating summer in Arizona when it's 120 is a little hard to appreciate, but I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yes. And that's the thing. It is all seasons. So it does include the hot weather too.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, here in New Jersey, like you said, Vicky, Tacy and I are wearing our sweaters. It's really pretty cold today. We got a little bit of snow, and it's definitely those cold, gray, dark days that we're experiencing now. And there's so many people that get really emotionally and mentally affected by the grayness. I've not lived in Arizona, so I don't know, in your summer when it's very sunny, even if it's so hot you might not want to go outside, if it's a similar effect where you just can't go outside or you don't feel comfortable being outside. But I think what Tacy and I both feel very strongly is how, you know, as humans, we're very affected by nature, and it's kind of just going with it, like finding the harmony, finding how you can change your behavior to be more in tune with what's going on outside, rather than being resistant to it, and how that really creates a better mental state, even during those kind of like tougher times of year for us.
So you guys started a collaboration here recently, and I love the name of it. I think that's what like caught my attention when I was scrolling through social media one day, and I was like, oh, what a clever name. And it made me stop, just the name of it. And it's Gnome Matter the Weather, as in, you know, the little troll gnome or whatever they are. And so I'm curious, first of all, how the two of you started collaborating, and what inspired the idea for this No Matter the Weather?
A lot of tongue twisters. Tacy, I can take this one to start, at least. So I work at a nonprofit watershed association called Raritan Headwaters, and we work to connect people to the land and the water. And sometimes that's through science, but sometimes, and a lot of the time, it's through recreation and by building community. And Tacy's always been part of our community. And I think it was one particular event that we started that kind of got our collaboration going. And it's called Lantern Walk. And it is a celebration of the changing of the season. So it's right when it starts to get really dark around daylight savings time. And we invite our community to come to our nature preserve, and everybody gets these beautiful German lanterns. We walk through the meadows and we kind of celebrate the idea of coming together as a community and like illuminating the dark winter night. And that's kind of like what, you know, Tacy, I'll let you kind of explain a little bit about how you started with Freelifts Living Family, but it was really just a perfect collaboration where like we're trying to build community, trying to get people outside no matter what. Tacy was kind of doing the same thing, and she's very local to us. So we were like, let's work together, especially in the winter when our programming kind of goes through a little bit of a lull, and there was definitely an opportunity to connect with people at that time. So I think it was a couple of years ago, Tacy, that we connected, and it's just been growing ever since. But this is the first year of No Matter the Weather, so we're super excited about that.
Yeah, and the idea of No Matter the Weather and our partnership is also this idea that, you know, that phrase, get outside no matter the weather, that can feel intimidating. That can feel like almost with a bit of, I don't know, a little too much stress surrounding it. And what we're trying to show people is it's so worth it to get outside, but not just that. It's not like eat your vegetables, go outside. It's like, it can be fun. It can be whimsical. It can be silly. And I think we were just brainstorming, Lauren, and you know, trying to think of if we created an account to try to, you know, build this community, create a collaboration, what would be some symbols of that? And Lauren, in addition to being an amazing director of education for Raritan Headwaters, is also an illustrator. And so she creates these amazing illustrations and drawings, and she even had one that was like a gnome, and I think we just started riffing and came up with it. And it just, I think gnomes are actually found throughout the world, not just Scandinavia. They certainly have a rich history in Norway and Sweden, and and other nearby countries, but it is a symbol and an imaginary creature from around the world. And we thought that was intriguing too. Like, you can do this wherever you live. So that's a little bit about no matter the weather. And in terms of our collaboration, Lauren captured it perfectly. It, for me personally, it really was that lantern walk that this local nature organization held. Our family had gone to it, but it was actually the fall of 2020. The lantern walk happened, even though in New Jersey, we had had some pretty strict quarantine rules. And, you know, that summer of 2020, it had been such a relief to be outside and to be able to more carefully socialize, see people outside. And as it got closer to September, and for me, I have two boys who at the time were in elementary and middle school, you know, I was really starting to get anxious and dreading the fall because we didn't know, were we going back to school? What was school gonna look like? Were there going to be more kind of lockdowns? And I was really dreading it. And especially with daylight savings coming, I was just, I didn't know what we were going to do. And that lantern walk just really inspired me to realize, you know, it's about, we can create the light. We can keep going outside. We can bundle up or dress appropriately. Why do we even have to go back inside? Let's spend the whole winter outside. And at the same time, I happened to read online an article from National Geographic about freeloopslive. And that was really the first time I saw this term. And it was one of those, you know, kind of woo-woo moments where all these things happened at once. The inspiration of the lantern walk, reading this article, and the fact that my family on my mom's side is Norwegian. And throughout the pandemic, you know, we moved to New Jersey for our jobs. None of our family was here, so we could not visit them. And I was really missing my family. So it was like, wow, here's this way that I can do something to bring some joy, bring some lighter moments to our family during some really stressful times, and also kind of honor my family tradition. And that's when, with my boys and my husband, we started Freeloopsliving Family, which was an Instagram account just to share ideas. It was really about, how do we get our kids outside? Because I will tell you, my boys will say things to me like, not another hike. You know, it's like when they are in middle school, you can't just put them in that backpack thing and hit the trail. It's like you have to motivate them to go outside with you. And that is what led to, in the fall of 2020, we came up with this idea with my boys and my husband of 15 weeks of freeloopslive, because I counted the weeks between daylight savings, or basically right around, I should say around Thanksgiving, to when daylight savings happens in the spring. When is the return of that light? And we basically gave ourselves a challenge to come up with one outdoor activity a week to have, you know, a meaningful adventure together outside. And it was so fun to come up with ideas and then reach out to friends and family to share ideas, because that I think is the powerful part of it, is figuring out how you can get outside easily and meaningfully. It's so good to share ideas with friends.
It's so funny, Tacy, because we keep talking about daylight savings, and I'm remembering that in Arizona, you all don't even do daylight savings. So it's like another difference between, but I just wanted to add very quickly about the little gnome that I draw. She's called the Nutlog Girl. I don't know why, I think someone suggested it, but I just wanted to say that the whole origin story of this little gnome for me was, I started noticing again how folks really get affected by the seasons, you know, like that first beautiful day of spring and everybody's outside, or, you know, when it starts to get cold and everyone starts to feel a little sad or, you know, more introspective. And I was like, wow, we are so connected to what's going on outside, but it's almost like people don't realize it. So I kind of started this, like, for me, it was like a public service announcement. I would send out these cards to all my friends and family. I was like, hey, it's the spring equinox. You might be feeling this way, or here's some things you can do to celebrate the summer solstice or the winter solstice. And each of those cards featured the nut log girl participating in something like knitting a scarf for her friends or going for a hike outside or watching the stars, you know, on a winter night. And it's so interesting how I just find like we're all kind of doing the same stuff, you know, without even realizing it. And when you get together as a community to recognize that, it's so powerful. And during like our Lantern Walk just happens to fall right around election season and, you know, during COVID, and it was sometimes like stressful times for us. And we found that that's when the registration numbers really shot up for this event, which is like the simplest thing you could imagine. It's just people getting together like around a campfire. And it was so powerful just to be like, wow, like whatever you think about these big events happening in the world, like there's just such comfort in getting together with people and just having a nice time outside, even if it's cold, even when it's dark. It's just been such a positive thing to experience.
You guys just launched this 15 weeks and I know you guys did a stargazing thing with it. I'm really curious to see how your night went. What all did you guys do? And how, you know, tell me about the people who came and what you guys did.
So here's what happened. This is what we get for calling ourselves No Matter the Weather, is that it rained the day of our event. So we had to go with the rain date, which is tomorrow. And we were joking that, you know, whereas we can bundle up and head outside, telescopes cannot.
Yes, I have experience with that. Yeah, no telescope viewing. But by the time this comes out, you guys will have done it. So tell us a little bit of what you guys have in mind then. What are you guys doing?
Sure. So we have, there's a local community college. It's called Raritan Valley Community College, and they have an astronomy club. So we're super excited to have a few folks from the astronomy club come with their big telescopes. And we'll be setting them up in one of our meadows to observe the night sky. I think it's getting, you would probably know better than me, Vicky, but I think it's getting kind of close to the Geminids meteor shower. So we're hoping maybe we'll catch some of those earlier meteors. We're hoping to see Jupiter and Saturn, which is just amazing. Like, until you really see it, you know, it's like you don't really fully understand like what you're gonna experience when you see that. But we have a nice big campfire. We're gonna be roasting s'mores, of course. Tacy's going to be making some delicious gloog for us to enjoy.
Oh, good. Yummy.
Yeah. It's gonna be another one of those just kind of really simple times. You know, we'll enjoy looking through the telescope. We might go for, you know, a little bit of a night hike. Otherwise we'll just kind of hang around and hang out with our friends and have some treats. And you know, Tacy's going to whip up something delicious for us because she always does.
Yeah. And actually that does speak to something you mentioned a couple times, Lauren, the simplicity of it. I think that is part of the ethos of Free Loose Live too, is it is simple. It's not elaborate. It's not about conquering anything or competing with anything in the outdoors. It's really just being in the moment and observant and just enjoying that awe. And I think that when it comes to a winter night sky, you know, we've done full moon hikes. I've done we did a winter solstice campfire last year. There's just something about the cold, crisp clarity of a winter night sky that is just stunning. And you don't need any other accoutrements or anything. It's just be outside and that idea of being together with other people who are interested in that experience. It is really powerful and stress relieving and just, it's grounding.
I've read books about the Nordic lifestyles and you know, this whole idea of being outdoors is just so much a part of that lifestyle. You know, in the summer, they go off to their summer cabins, everybody does. And in the winter, they still ride their bikes to work in the snow, in the dark, and it's cold, and they just do it. They leave their babies outside in the little, you know, bassinet, not bassinet, but you know, their little stroller things. And that's just what they all do. I think it's amazing. And I remember reading, and I'm sure you're going to talk about this, is this idea with this idea of no matter the weather, that there was this saying I came across that There's no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes for the weather. And obviously that's going to be a huge, huge part of being able to enjoy the weather in all seasons, but you got to be prepared for it and know how to dress appropriately. And obviously yes. Here in Arizona, when it's summertime, it's just the swimsuit in the pool.
Yeah, that's the right gear for that.
So that's easy. Yeah. You know, you just want to take off everything that you can when it's summertime. But winter is just a different beast. I mean, even here in Arizona, you know, come January, to go out, at least for me, because I do a lot of stargazing and stargazing experiences, it's cold. It gets cold at nighttime here. And a lot of people will avoid going outside in the winter as much as they'll avoid in the summer here. So let's talk about that, because I think clothing is such an important part.
It is. And actually, that's funny. That's one more part of our gathering is our gatherings. We're doing a gear swap because it can be expensive to have winter gear. And especially if you have a family with kids who are still growing, you don't want that to be an impediment to going outside. That said, I think there are still ways to keep it simple. I think, you know, if you were to look at all the advertisements for winter clothes, you could go wild with all kinds of layers. But I do think there are some basics about how to wear layers, how to make sure you're staying warm. Lauren probably can speak to this even better than I can, because a lot of the nature programs they run get into colder temps. So Lauren, what do you usually recommend to families in particular? I mean, other than teenagers who never wear a coat. I mean, that's the one thing. Teenagers, they just won't totally wear a coat.
Yeah. Well, definitely layers. I mean, layer up, like, you know, double or triple up on your socks, your pants. You know, it's better to be like sweating than to be shivering. So you can always take layers off. Always wear a hat, you know, always wear gloves. I like mittens better because it keeps your fingers together so they can keep their ambient warmth. And just a little bit of movement really goes a long way. I know, you know, when you're stargazing, you're kind of standing still, but if you find yourself getting a little bit chilly, just, you know, do a couple jumping jacks or something. You'll find that your body temperature really heats up quite fast. I mean, anyone that's ever shoveled snow knows that you're just like sweating after 5 minutes, you know, so it really doesn't take long. I work with a lot of kids, and I'm not a parent myself, but I have noticed kind of this phenomenon where I feel like little kids don't feel cold until you tell them that they should feel cold. So this is like a running theory that I have. I have to do still some more studies on this.
I remember when I was a kid, we went sledding, and there was one of the kids with us. I remember he came indoors, and all of a sudden he was like, "My hands are so cold." And he started crying. He'd just been playing in the snow, no gloves, you know? And then all of a sudden he realized, oh my God, my hands.
Yeah.
So they had to like run his hands under the cold water and start warming up. I remember that. But it's true, because you just get so focused on what you're doing in the play.
Yeah.
And you're just in the moment as a kid.
And for sure. But, and there's a balance though, you know, like there's a big mental component. And it was, I read a story by an author named Daniel Quinn, and there was a father trying to teach his son how to like be comfortable outside. And this, you know, this story was taking place like 2000 years ago. But anyway, I thought it was a good lesson. And he said, just don't resist it. You know, like we tighten up our bodies and you start almost like emphasizing the feeling of cold. But if you kind of just like chill out, you relax, like you remind yourself that you have all your layers on, you remind yourself you can do like a little walk around the block or something to get your body temp up. And then like, you can just exhale and just relax. You know, maybe your body does start to get a little bit cold, and, you know, within reason, keeping safe, like you don't have to be just like so mentally like, oh, I hate it out here, it's so cold. Just like, literally chill out, you know, and like, you'll be okay and enjoy what you're out there for. And, you know, have a nice warm beverage, have some tea or hot chocolate or glug.
That's what I was just going to say. I do think having the hot beverage and making that something fun about when you're going outside, it gives you something to look forward to. So this is not just my strategy with my kids. It has been the fun of these events that we've had through the winter is I think it's really fun to think about, oh, what am I going to bring on this outdoor adventure to warm me up? And know that you've got that container. There's so many different types you can use at this point, so many insulated cups or water bottles, or there's so many options, and any of them really work to keep the liquid warm. It's just such a treat when you open that hot thermos and enjoy your glug or tea or hot chocolate. That's another thing we like to do is share recipes for what to put in your your thermos.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know you've done it right if you're like sweating before you even leave the house. If you're like, I gotta get outside. Like that's when you know you have enough layers on.
So you mentioned this beverage, glug, a couple of times. And for people who've never heard of it, tell them what's in this.
Yes. Well, traditionally, and it's spelled G-L-O-G-G, and you'll see different variations of what that O looks like based on if it's Norwegian or Swedish or where it's coming from. But the basic idea is it's like a mulled wine. The nice thing is, I mean, this is part of what I've done with my embracing of Free Loops Leaf. It's like, how do I make it sort of our own? So I do take liberties with making glue, for example, without the wine, so that my family can enjoy it, but still using the basic idea, which is that it is heated up. There's usually a fruit element to it, and it often is using spices and herbs that are seasonal or that have been dried, but cardamom is one of the main flavors, cinnamon. And I like that you can play with it, but usually, traditionally, it's a red wine, often with some orange juice or orange peels in there, cardamom, cinnamon. The smell is just amazing when you make it in your house.
But all these spices that you're mentioning are considered like warming spices as well. Yeah. So I think they kind of help dilate your blood vessels and things like that. So I'm sure that that just adds another layer of keeping you warm from inside.
Yes. Yes. Such a good point. I think that's right. I think, and it's one of these, again, kind of like when we were talking about gnomes, it's around the world, this idea of mulled wine. So there's something to this and our ancestors and what they knew.
I wrote a blog article a couple of years ago about this stuff that people were calling it moon milk. And it's kind of like that golden milk, you know, with the turmeric.
Oh, like turmeric, yeah.
And so it's kind of like that, but some people call it moon milk, which I think is fun, you know, being that I'm in stargazing. But it's the same kind of concept. It's not wine, obviously. You know, you pick some kind of milk, whether, you know, whatever kind you like. And there's all these spices and things that you add to it and you warm it up. And I just think that's fun. Like what you're saying is, you know, to pick something, maybe a drink that you don't normally have and take it outside. It just adds to the specialness and the magic of what you're doing.
Exactly. Yep. And it's a simple way to make it sparkly.
So I think that the winter night skies are some of the best skies for stargazing. There, you know, almost everybody knows what Orion is, the Orion constellation. Most people can pick out the Orion constellation pretty easily. There's a lot of other really big, interesting ones. You guys mentioned the Geminids meteor shower coming up, and it's called that because the shooting stars kind of originate in Gemini, the constellation Gemini. And we have Pleiades and Taurus, and we have the star Sirius, which is the brightest star in the entire night sky, is finally coming into view. So there's just so much to look at in the winter time that I think for me, it's my favorite time to stargaze. There's just so many beautiful things to look at. And I love star stories that go along with the constellations. And so when I'm with people, I'm always like telling them, oh, this culture saw this in this constellation, and here's the stories they told about it. But it's also, the cold weather is also such a deterrent that a lot of people never get to spend the time to really look across the sky and see what all there is to see. And in wintertime, because of the cooler weather. The sky is clear, like the stars are really crisp and bright in the wintertime. And so there just really is no better time for it. What kind of tips might you guys have for stargazers? Because keeping in mind, they're probably not going to be moving very much. They might be standing, which gives them an opportunity to move, but sometimes they'll just bring out a chair and park themselves. And that's a good way to get really cold fast. So what tips do you guys have?
Oh, I would say a nice big blanket. If you're going to be sitting still, you know, big blanket, just snuggle right up. And if you have someone to snuggle with, awesome. A pet, even. Hot water bottle works. Hot hands. Those are wonderful. But definitely, you know, just layer up with as much fabric as possible. And yeah, I mean, just like being in awe of the beauty of the night sky once you're out there, it's always worth it.
I learned a lesson one time because I wore my Converse sneakers outside at night. Oh boy, I know that I wasn't going to get frostbite because I was in Arizona. But oh, my feet were so cold, they just hurt. I mean, they hurt bad. And I learned a lesson that your footwear is really, really important.
I think that Converse like make your feet colder somehow. I used to wear Converse all the time and I was like, I've never been colder than when I wear them. They're so cute, but they make you cold. You got also have to remember, I think it was Lieutenant Dan that said you always need dry socks. And that is so true. Like you have to keep dry, you know? So if you're out, if it's like, well, I guess you wouldn't be stargazing if it's raining, but you know, if it's like squishy on the ground of mud or if there's snow, just like make sure you stay dry for sure.
And then you mentioned, what did you call them? Hot?
Oh, hot hands. Right. That might be a brand name, but you know, it's those like little packets you shake and then it warms up. And I stick them in my boots and in my gloves and they're like, they work wonders.
I had some one time. Well, these were for the shoes. They you peel off the back and they stick to the bottom of your sock. And as soon as you peel, it activates them and warms up. And oh, I like those.
Oh, it makes such a difference. You have to do it like 30 minutes in advance for some of them. So just make sure you got it like nice and warm. And then it's just like you'll be so comfy cozy. Yeah.
Yeah. We're big fans of hand warmers. And also the hot beverage, that's always good to have handy. And I think Lauren said this before too, but the hat, it really is good to keep your head covered. I think that's one of those essentials.
I've been sleeping with my window open at night, even though it's December and it's Arizona. It's been warm this week. And last night, I thought about getting out of bed and putting my hat on because I didn't want to close the window. But the window's right above my head. And I was just like, oh, it's just a little cold.
So a lot of times we'll have like these campfire programs in combination with stargazing. And the ambient glow from the fire really does kind of affect your ability to stargaze effectively. So we make sure to keep them like at a distance, but it's nice to be able to pop back down to the fire to warm up. So if you're with like a couple people, so you can like responsibly monitor the fire, that's a great way to just have a little respite. You know, you can like warm your hands, warm your butt up, and then get back to the telescope.
And I do think the movement, you know, even just like tapping your toes, if you're sitting, just keeping your feet moving, if you can, remembering to move a little bit, like Lauren was saying too, I think that helps a lot too.
People who don't live in New Jersey, how can they get involved in what you guys are doing?
I'll take it, TC. So we started out as a local, you know, initiative. So we do have our in-person events, but we are trying to make this accessible for everybody. So we have an Instagram, Gnome Matter the Weather, Gnome Matter the Weather. We have a newsletter. And we try to make our activities accessible for anybody, no matter where you are. So if you're somewhere where it's really hot, you know, an iced version of the Gloog, for instance, or, you know, if it's really cold, you know, that's kind of the specialty of the free lifts living idea. But we're definitely trying to like mix things up, have a lot of ways to really just connect with your community and to give ideas of people for people to do that in a really simple way, no matter where they are.
Yeah, it is about sharing ideas. And I think we also recognize that when it comes to winter as a season, sometimes people need different things. Sometimes you need the festivity and the lights and the gatherings and the bustle of it all. And other times you need the reflection and maybe even the solitude. And the incredible thing about free loose leave and what nature does for you is you can find either in nature. And so our goal is to share ideas. And sometimes that idea will resonate with you. And sometimes you might think, oh, that sounds fun for another time. But you can come back to the Instagram account, you know, anytime and just kind of peruse what we've been up to and pick what suits your wintering needs at that moment.
And like we've said, there's so many ideas that are shared like worldwide, you know, like the warming spices in the glug are so similar to different Ayurvedic recipes, and there's just this like wisdom that people have had throughout time that it's nice to be reminded of and to share our cultures and traditions with each other of what you do during the times of year that are a little tougher than others. Or just different ways that we connect with the outdoors, no matter where we are, is such a great reminder of the things that we all share, no matter where you are.
And it is about connection across place. And that's kind of how our family's journey started. This idea of, you know, you're out under the same sky, even if you're on different parts of the country or in different parts of the world, that's the other power of nature and how it impacts us, but we are connected. So part of this endeavor is to build community and help people through what are some challenging times.
Yeah, and we've had some challenging times in the last couple of years. You know, I feel like it's some of the silver lining is that it's like brought us all a little bit closer together, maybe. And, you know, just to go back to stargazing, Vicky, again, like, I never get tired of looking at Saturn. Like when you see the moons and the rings, you're just like, oh my God, I am so small, but like in a good way, you know, where like then whatever you were worried about, it's like, who cares? Look at Saturn's moons that like, you know, and it's just that way of just putting things into perspective, realizing that we all have these like similar things going on in life and we're all equally small and we can all just be together and hang out and stop worrying so much. You know, that's why we love like these night activities, especially. It's like, hey, remember that we're on a planet, like in a solar system, like who cares, you know, so freeing.
Lauren and Tacy, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I can't wait to hear, hopefully from listeners, to tell us a little bit of their winter stargazing stories and how they've used some of your tips to have a better time.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Vicky. This has been so fun.
Yes, and thank you for all the ideas you share. I have really enjoyed following your adventures, and I need to book a ticket to Arizona and go on one of your walks. I just, whenever you advertise those, I'm like, I need to check the airfare because that sounds awesome. So hopefully one of these days we can join you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Vicky.
I've just published my 2024 stargazing guide, and I can't wait for you to get your eyes on it. This full color guide takes you month by month through the year so that you won't miss any meteor showers, full moons, eclipses, planet viewings, or other exciting celestial events. Each month has a featured constellation with cultural star stories to inspire your stargazing. And by the end of the year, you'll have a better grasp on how our moon works. And the best part, the 2024 Stargazing Guide is free. It's my gift to you because I want you to have your own stargazing experiences. It's always more fun when you know what you're looking for and when to look for it. To get your free download of the 2024 Stargazing Guide, visit nightskytourist.com and click on the link. It's so easy, and before you know it, it'll be right there in your inbox, ready for you to use the next time you go stargazing. If you're already a newsletter subscriber, watch your inbox. Your download is already heading your way. I can't wait to share the magic of the night sky with all of you in 2024. Visit nightskytourist.com today and get your free guide. How can you hear that fun conversation with Lauren and Tacy without being inspired to bundle up and create a fun winter evening under the stars? I'll be publishing my winter stargazing guide next week, so be sure to subscribe to the Night Sky Tourist newsletter so you don't miss it. You can do that at nightskytourist.com. You can also find links for everything mentioned in this episode in the show notes or visit nightskytourist.com/84. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it and giving us 5 stars. Your ratings are really important to me, and they help more people discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. Until next time, keep looking up.